Dr. Russi Erasmus and the Springboks will be thrilled by what they saw in Six Nations Week 3. There's no doubt in my mind. And in this episode, you are going to get a front row seat as to exactly why that is the case. The logical place to start is with the Italy v France match in Rome. Now, the Stadio Olimpico was packed. And the reason it was full is because nearly 70,000 Italian rugby fans thought that their team had a realistic shot at beating France. And why not? This is the best team they've had in the professional era. They're on an obviously upward trajectory. And they could have not been more buoyed by this beautiful try by Tommaso Menoncello. What a player he is. Now, in case you're new to my channel, the reason I'm also so interested in the Italians is because in July, the Springboks faced the Azzurri in a two-test series. So best we get well acquainted with this lot, kind of just like Dr. Erasmus is. France had actually got off to a tremendous start. Italy absorbed the pressure well before that Menoncello try. They were showing a willingness to run when they had possession, and looked to be targeting France's back three with kicks. Not a bad idea, given that Fabien Galtier had gone with a 7-1 bench split. A bad day for the French back three was going to be a long day for the Les Bleus trio. But France are a different beast. It was clear that they are a superior side to the Azzurri. Still, Italy didn't just lie down and take it, especially in the first half. We saw Menoncello earlier. His centre partner in crime, Nacho Brex, also scored a lovely try for the home side. Guys, I'm serious when I tell you, Italy have a world-class centre pairing here. They just won't get the recognition because, one, they play for Italy, and two, they're never going to have a pack that can make them look like the stars they truly are. Not at international level anyway, but watch them when they play club rugby. Now, I think despite the multitude of changes made by Galtier, the French were very determined to put on a show here.
DLBRE makes it a magnificent 7 for France.
That defeat to England last time out would have stung, and unfortunately for Italy, France were always going to steamroll whoever got in their way next. It's a pity because I genuinely don't think Italy are as terrible as the final scoreline suggests. 73-24 is extremely harsh on Gonzalo Guesada's team.
They all want to play, and they all will play. And Leo Barré will be the one to finish it off. But that, ladies and gentlemen, was a team try.
That said, there are obvious weaknesses that Doc would have taken note of. We saw against Wales how vulnerable the Italian defence is to a line-out maul. They again conceded in that fashion in this match. Russi and the Springboks are licking their lips. Overall, I don't think their defence is terrible, but it's not watertight. And if this is what the French did to them, just think what we might do to them. Still, I think they'll put on a better showing than a 50-point defeat in July. But what have you made of Italy in this Six Nations so far? And what do you think of the likes of Menoncello and Brex? Let me know in the comment section down below. As for Les Bleus, they will not be targeting their match against Ireland in Dublin only in 2 weeks' time. That is most likely going to decide the 2025 Six Nations Trophy. Now, I will show you the Six Nations table after I go through the remaining two matches, guys, I promise. Now, England might find fault with my assertion that the cup is going to France or Ireland this year. They're still fighting for this title, let me tell you. After squeaking past France, they've edged Scotland. Now, the Scots play pretty rugby, it has to be said. They're fun to watch, as the Americans might tell you. This is just another example of what Gregor Townsend's team is capable of.
Van der Merwe, the offload of Hugh Jones. Jones gets in.
Their problem is that they don't seem to be able to close out a close encounter. They're almost like an All Blacks team without resilience. Now look, that is something that might still come, but for all the hype around Finn Russell, and don't get me wrong, I think he's a wonderful player. I really do. I'm a fan. But all that flair is good and well, but you have to be reliable as the team's goal kicker too. Yes, if you are the team's goal kicker, and we've spoken about this on this channel before in terms of Marnie Lebok, if you are the team's goal kicker, I don't really care what else you're doing as a playmaker. I'm judging you based on your goal kicking success. Yes, I'd expect you to be a half decent fly half as well. I expect you to be able to defend. I expect you to be able to attack. I want you to distribute the ball well. I'd really like it if you had a little bit of vision, which, let's be honest, Russell and Lebok both have in spades. But I'm sorry to say this, Andre Pollard wouldn't have missed any of those. He would have nailed them. And so if Russell is going to be Scotland's goal kicker, you have to lament the fact that he has failed to land a single successful kick at Twickenham. Just one of those goes over, and the Scots had the match won. Do you know what it actually reminded me of? 1997, when the Springboks lost to the British and Irish Lions in Durban in the second Test match. We scored 3 tries that day. Funny enough, Scotland also scored 3 tries in this Test against England. We could not convert one of those tries. We had a few penalty attempts as well. None of them went over. And so our score stayed stuck at 15. The Lions didn't score a try. Now, England obviously did score a try, but the Lions didn't score a try in 1997. They kicked 5 penalties. They got themselves to 15-15. And then right at the end, Jeremy Guscott put over that drop goal. The Lions won the Test and the series. It's our own fault because we didn't have a goal kicker. No one could kick the ball over the poles. And that is what has happened here with Scotland. So it's not England's fault. It would have been a record 5th straight win over the English. Instead, another Finn, Smith in this case, is the hero of the match.
Play for Scotland. And I tell you what, he'll be a proud dad now.
I know a lot of people think England are mediocre, but I beg to differ. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy a poor England team as much as the next guy. But this is not a weak English outfit. And yes, I know there was some questionable officiating. Was the ball grounded for the English try, for example? There was another moment where Mauro Itoje won a penalty at a ruck. But to me, he appeared to be off his feet, or at the very least, using the ball to maintain his balance. Okay, they got away with it. It happens in rugby. Again, Russell slots one of his kicks, and none of that would have mattered. Steve Borthwick is building something here, guys. Right now, they're not quite hitting their straps, but I believe something is brewing. They've got good players. They really do. Ellis Genge, Jamie George, who doesn't even start, are quality in the front row. So you've got Calwyn Dickie starting, and then George comes off the bench. That's bomb squad stuff, guys. It really is. Tom Curry and Ben Earl are top loose forwards. Itoje is a mongrel up front. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I think he's superb. For me, he is like their Eben Etzebeth. Now, I'm not saying that he is Eben's equal, just saying he is their version of Etzebeth, and you need that. We'll have to wait and see how the two Smiths work out in their current roles in the back line, but there's certainly a lot of potential there. And don't forget, you've still got George Ford and Freddie Stewart to call on if you want. And then the rest of the crew in the back line, Ollie Slightholm, Tommy Freeman, Ollie Lawrence, Henry Slade, all of these guys are good players. Yes, you might not say that these guys are all necessarily going to be in the British and Irish Lions side, but England have got a lot to work with here, in my view. As the Americans might say, forgive me again with the US sports parlance, but they've got a very high ceiling, meaning that there's a lot of potential for growth. Now, whether or not Borthwick gets it right, ultimately, we'll have to wait and see. If he does, this could be a very dangerous team in Australia in 2027. Not necessarily to win it. I think that they're a long way off winning a World Cup. But perhaps to knock out one of the teams who does expect to win it. Remember, there's going to be a last 16 in the next Rugby World Cup. Depending on the draw, England could be a very unfavorable last 16 opponent for one of the top teams. Ireland, South Africa, New Zealand, France. One of us could get England in the last 16, depending on how things go. They could win that match. Imagine losing in the Rugby World Cup last 16 if you're the Springboks, the All Blacks, Les Bleus, or the Irish. It'd be a disaster. Anyway, let's move on from that. And finally, we come to what was the first match of the weekend. Now, I'll always be honest with you guys. I'm a bit embarrassed to admit this. But so you know, I'll always be transparent with you. I actually missed the first 30 minutes of this one. You know why? Like I said, it's embarrassing. I completely got my times wrong. When I looked up the times earlier in the week, I got it on my own time zone, but mistakenly thought it was in a different one. And so you can imagine my horror when I changed the channel on Saturday and saw we were half an hour in already. My first thought was, how can I now do a video about this match with any kind of credibility? So you know what I am going to tell you? I will tell you about what I actually did see, if you don't mind. I did see that horror tackle from Gary Ringrose. I knew it was going to be upgraded to a red. Those are just the laws these days. Any head contact is a yellow. No attempt to mitigate is going to be a red. He didn't try to dip. And in this case, that red was a 20-minute red, which I still think is a load of bull. What I also observed was a solid Welsh pack. And all round, they were actually very entertaining. It was as if they were freed from the shackles of Warren Ball. Now, with all due respect to Warren Gatland, who's obviously an outstanding coach, he's won a British and Irish Lions series in Australia. He drew a British and Irish Lions series in New Zealand. He pushed the Springboks very, very closely in 2021. He's obviously won the Six Nations with Wales, won a Grand Slam, Triple Crown, all those things. In spite of that, I think his teams play the percentages very well. Now, some might say that that is an indication of limitations on him as a coach, or limitations on the players that he was working with, or them playing within themselves. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that it is a low-risk game they played, waiting for the opposition to make the mistakes, and then they pounce. And interestingly, after more than a year of woeful performances, and indeed results, this was a Wales that the crowd were pleased to see play. Jack Morgan again was brilliant. He and Will Rowlands, for me, are Wales' two truly world-class players. I was also mightily impressed by the young left-wing Ellis Mee. He looks about 12, but I thoroughly enjoyed his determination and enthusiasm. And those two factors can often help a team to play above themselves. The Welsh side we saw was also much changed from the one we saw against Italy. Let's see how they go in their remaining games. Now, a lot of people are saying that Ireland are not quite where they would like to be. I readily concede they've not been as impressive as we might have expected in the Six Nations. I wonder what it might be. There are a few factors. Interim coach Simon Easterby might not quite be capable of getting out of the players what Andy Farrell is. Some of the players are perhaps thinking about that Lions tour to Australia. Whatever it might be, I think the showdown between the Irish and French in Dublin is shaping up to be a classic. And despite the criticism, what I have seen is a team that has shown it is capable of stepping up a gear when necessary. They did it against England at the Aviva Stadium, after absorbing all the English threw at them, and then something similar took place in Cardiff. You've got to be satisfied with that, right? And further to all of that, this also means Ireland have won the Triple Crown again. If you're not familiar with that terminology, it means they've beaten each of the other home nations in this year's tournament, that being England, Scotland, and Wales. It's their third Triple Crown in 4 years, 14th in history, and 8th this century. That tells you something about Irish rugby these days, I think. Six Triple Crowns between 1883 and 1999, 8 Triple Crowns between 2000 and 2025. Okay, so here's confirmation of the results. Wales 18, Ireland 27, England 16, Scotland 15, Italy 24, France 73. And the updated standings for you. Ireland leading the way with 3 wins from 3. France and England still in the hunt with 2 wins and a defeat. France will have to beat the Irish, of course, in order to bring the English back into contention. That France v Ireland match is coming up in the next round of matches in 2 weeks' time, guys. And I think Scotland are almost certainly going to finish 4th now. Italy with 1 win and 2 defeats, like the Scots, are 5th. Wales on course for the wooden spoon. So let me know what your thoughts are in the comment section down below. And something else that you can do if you'd like to support me, guys, is to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. I'm looking for donations, guys, to this channel because I would love to do this full time. So that's where you come in. If you want to help me do this on a full time basis, you can head on over to my Patreon page, sign up as a patron. I would be very, very grateful. I want to do this full time. I would also love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under with daily coverage. And it would be my pleasure to have you on board as a patron. There are all kinds of benefits. I might write you an ebook on your favorite player. I might have a quarterly Zoom call with you. You might even get the opportunity to make suggestions on what videos I should do next on this channel. Head on over to my Patreon page. The link is in the description area below. And I will speak to you next time.